thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
I have a clue.
Here's John Williams.
For you, in just a second here, we're giving away some White Sox tickets on the show between now and 3 o'clock. I don't know if you know how this contest works. In fact,
Lord have mercy.
I'm only now becoming aware of the details myself, but I think I've got it. We're going to feature the clue for you right now, so listen carefully. I'll let you need to get that ready. On the one. Now, this will not be the time to call. You're going to call anyway. I can't help that. But here's the deal. The next time you hear this sound, the next time you hear that, give us a call at 312-981-7200, and then you'll be able to win tickets to see the White Sox. We've got good seats all season long, and we'd love for you to go have fun out at the ballpark. So just listen for the next time you hear that. Give us a call at 312-981-7200, and I'll tell you this. We'll do that between now, 109, and 145, so just around the corner, as they say.
And no one called yet, so they were listening.
God bless you. It's either because you are good, attentive listeners, or in fact, we have none. We have no listeners.
No, it's not that.
I did a show in Plano, Illinois, my very first radio job outside of college at WSPY Plano. And it was one of those radio stations that you had to turn the transmitter on. It was a daytimer, we called it. It would be on the air from sunup to sundown. On FM 107, WSBY. And it was a nice little radio station. And it was a terrific opportunity for me, and it was a great community radio station. It was to Plano, Sandwich, Yorkville, Salmonok, and the suburb of Pawpaw, what maybe WGN is to the Midwest. Just a very community-centered news and talk and information and also a music station. Anyway, I was the guy that had to turn the transmitter on in the morning and then get the morning show up and running. So I'd go into the one shed and throw some switches and take some calibration readings, and the thing would go, and it would just like warm up. And I go, okay, there's the juice coming into the old transmitter. And then I'd walk around to the other building and turn my microphone on and say, good morning, you're listening to WSPY. And as I said those words, I always thought, it's almost certain that nobody is hearing me right now, because moments ago, seconds ago, we weren't even on the air. And it was just a little farmtown radio station. So who's listening to nothing, you know?
Well, maybe their radio's just on nothing.
Right.
And then they wait for it to come on. The radio's
that
on.
Was my only hope. But then to test that, so like one morning at 5:15, when I turned the thing on and we're on the air, I played the sponsor wheel. You know how that works, little radio stations? They spin the big wheel, and each of the little stops is the name of a local sponsor, a business, a merchant there in town. So you would call in to play the sponsor wheel, and I would say, okay, where do you think the wheel is going to stop? And if you said Ranch House Restaurant, and then I spun it, and it stopped at the Ranch House Restaurant, then you would win all the cash in the kitty at that time. So I said, okay, we have just $4 in the sponsor wheel jackpot right now, but go ahead and give us a call and you get to play. And no one called. No one called. I was like, all you have to do is call and you will get money. I was saying, call and you will have money. No one called.
It's early. It was early.
It was really early.
I bet you were a lot of people's alarm clock.
I was the Wally Phillips of Plano, Illinois in 1981 for about 2 months. Yeah, thanks for that, Ella. All right. So let's just kind of plow through some of these things here. There's not a lot of editorial comment from me here. I want to go through what the president has been saying, what Rudy Giuliani has been saying, what Sean Hannity has been saying, what Neil Cavuto on Fox News has been saying. I mean, this is all fascinating stuff. And my only purpose here is to sort of get you up to speed as to where the last 18 hours on this very strange and fascinating and exciting story is. I'll get to that in just a second. But hello again to all of the folks that traveled with us to Europe. Brenda and I led a Kelly Cruz's tour from Barcelona to Rome. We just got back a couple of days ago. I'm still a little jet lagged, but just a little bit. And I know a lot of you are now listening for the first time, having returned yourselves from extended stays after the cruise. What a nice bunch of people we've met. The WGN radio listeners, when you get on a cruise ship with them, are the nicest, funnest, most interesting people, a diverse group. We were having a lovely dinner with some people one night who we traveled with before and just loved their company. And the one woman just kind of leaned into me and she said, "By the way, I think you should know this. I'm a Trumper." And I didn't know that. There were several people who were big fans of the president on the trip. I am not. It was really nice that, A, none of us were thinking or talking about it that much, and B, that we were discovering that we could all enjoy each other's company so much. So that was just really, really nice. Also, we had a few doppelganger incidents between Brenda and I. There was a woman we saw on the first day we were there who so much looked like my sister at a distance of maybe 20 yards that I thought, oh my God, Jean is on this trip. Or she's here in Barcelona for some reason. And I knew she wasn't. But the more we looked at her, and then we watched her mannerisms, and that's the thing that really starts to freak you out. It's not that somebody looks like somebody, but she would have my sister smile, and sometimes the waitress will just cock her head and purse her lips and make a face. And it was just like, oh, I thought, I have to tell her this. But I didn't, because I don't know how that conversation goes. Hi, you don't know me, I don't know you, and you're not who you look like to me, but you do that. Well, have a nice day. You know what? I don't know where that conversation goes.
There's a whole show about that, finding like a twin from across the world.
Oh, no. Okay, no kidding. People look for that on purpose? Or?
Yeah. And when you find them, it's funny. You know, people start crying. They're like, why? She moves like me. She talks like me. Sometimes they don't even speak the same language, but it's just this.
It's very freaky. It's very freaky. And so, and that woman then, as it turns out, we first saw her in Barcelona, then she gets on the ship with us. And so I was bumping into her. I shared a tour bus with her one time. In fact, she picked up my sweater when I dropped it, the same way Jean would. It was like very bizarre. Then we go on one of the tours. The tour guide was, again, the not only spitting image of a good friend of ours named Heinz Brummel, but he had his mannerisms and his opinions. And it was, again, it's like, how did Heinz get in this person's body? And my friend Heinz is a peculiar sort of looking fellow. He's maybe 6'5". He weighs probably 178 pounds. He wears black straight leg jeans and dark jackets and T-shirts. He's an artist. He's got a very distinct, handsome cut about him with his hair sort of pulled back. And there, and all of a sudden we get off the bus and meet our tour guide, and it's my friend Heinz. And I wanted to tell him, I wanted to go, okay, you're freaking me out, dude, because you look like Heinz. Should I tip him more? So there was that. But then the third of them was, there was a couple of guys on the boat who were brothers traveling with their mother. And some people said that one of them looked like me, and I don't see it. Three separate times on our travels. One time we were strolling through a little village in Italy, and a gentleman who I don't know in that town comes up to me and says, "Well, what did you think of the karaoke in the lounge last night?" And I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And he says, "Yeah, you know, we were standing next to each other." And I said, "No." I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from Mexico, and I'm on that ship." And I said, "Oh, I know what you're thinking. There's a guy on the ship who's kind of tall, has a face like mine." And he was having trouble grasping the notion that I wasn't who he thought I was. But so here again, and then it's kind of awkward. "Yeah, I'm not that guy." I said, "But if I'm happy to hear it, because I think he's a good looking guy." So there's that. But I don't know what to do in those situations when you bump into somebody. The people we bumped into from the Chicago area, though, were just terrific. And I hope that we can travel with you all again. So this is Rudy Giuliani talking to Sean Hannity. This is Rudy Giuliani, who is now part of the Trump legal team. And he is on Sean Hannity's show. And this is the comment that kind of got this whole news cycle started.
A foreign national, Christopher Steele, Are you concerned that that was paid for to manipulate the American people in the lead up to an election?
Having something to do with paying some Stormy Daniels woman $130,000? I mean, which is going to turn out to be perfectly legal. That money was not campaign money. Sorry, I'm giving you a fact now that you don't know. It's not campaign money. No campaign finance violation. So
they funneled it through the law firm.
Funneled through the law firm, and the president repaid it.
Oh, I didn't know he did.
Yeah.
There's no campaign finance law.
Zero.
That's the O heard round the world. Zero. Rudy was, at that point, about 30 minutes into the interview. It was very casual. They were on the same page. And they're just having a really good conversation. Hannity was doing a good job stringing the interview along, scoring some points or allowing his guests to. And then that happened. And Sean Hannity, who knows this story and president better than anybody, was taken aback. But you heard Rudy Giuliani say zero, zero. Rudy then tells Hannity more about that payment.
I knew how much money Donald Trump put into that campaign. I said, $130,000. He's going to do a couple of checks for $130,000.
But do you know the president didn't know about this?
He didn't know about the specifics of it, as far as I know. But he did know about the general arrangement that Michael would take care of things like this, like I take care of things like this for my clients. I don't burden them with every single thing that comes along. These are busy people.
There's another world out there, and I didn't know about it. It's the world where things like this happen, and you have an attorney, maybe even the former mayor of New York, quote-unquote, take care of these things for you. And they're important things, so important you have to have an attorney and $130,000 fix it. But it's not important enough that you even have to tell the client about it. I'm not going to bother him with things like this. We just take care of these things. Hey, if you're an attorney and you do that sort of thing, give me a call because I want to know about these things. I didn't know that's the world we live in. But evidently it is. But the president now says that maybe Rudy doesn't have all of his facts straight. And while he hasn't straightened them out per se, he said that both of them soon will. In fact, he brought John Kelly, his chief of staff, out to sort of set the tone or reset the tone for the president. We'll get to that clip in just a minute. Oh, hey, on line number two, is it Darla? Darla in Hennepin. Hey, Darla, you're on WGN. How are you?
I'm good.
You heard the Don't Stop Believin' White Sox baseball cue to call. Congratulations. Where's Hennepin, by the way? Is that down by Peoria?
Right, exactly. Maybe half an hour north of Peoria.
Yeah. You know, I used to live and work down there for 15 years, I did. 10 years, I did. Something like that. Wow, great. So are you going to come up and watch White Sox play?
I am.
Absolutely. Have you been to a game this year?
No, I have not.
Yeah, well... Steve Stone was on with Steve Cochran today. They had a real nice conversation about the potential. You see greatness in this team at times. They just have to learn to be more consistent. Hopefully you'll get to see a walk-off winning hit when you come up to see them take on the Rangers. Thursday, May 17th at 7:10 p.m. I wish you good weather, and thanks for calling.
All right, thanks. I'll be there.
You bet. Talk to Elif just a little bit more off the air. We'll make sure that we get you out to the ballpark. So we just played for you Rudy Giuliani talking to Sean Hannity, where he said that the president knew. He said it wasn't clear how much the president knew about the transaction, right? It was a little weird, wasn't it? Because he said that the president paid him back, but it wasn't clear exactly if the president knew what was going on. Sometimes, remember, Rudy Giuliani said, we take care of these things. We don't bother our clients with all of the details. Here is the president saying, this is cut three, Elif, that he not only supports John Kelly. So the president's going to talk to the press. He knows he's going to get some questions about all of this that's been going on. But people are wondering if John Kelly is on the way out. So weirdly, before the president boards the aircraft, he is standing there with his chief of staff.
We have a great relationship. He's doing a great job as chief of staff. I could not be more happy. So I just want to tell you that. The New York Times has falsely reported They've said things that are absolutely false. So I just want to tell you that. And, General, you may have something to say.
I would just say it's an absolute privilege to work for a president that has gotten the economy going. We're about to have a breakthrough, I believe, on North Korea. The jobs report today, I mean, everything is going phenomenally well, attacking the opioid crisis. It's nothing less than brilliant what's been accomplished in 15 months, I believe.
You got to like some of those numbers today, that's for sure. And then John Kelly steps to the side, and rather than ask about John Kelly, the press does this.
Mr. President, when did you change your story on Stormy Daniels?
We're not changing any stories. All I'm telling you is that this country is right now running so smooth. And to be bringing up that kind of crap and to be bringing up witch hunts all the time, that's all you want to talk about.
You didn't know about the payment. Excuse me. You go back and take a look at what I said.
Okay.
That's the AP reporter who asked him the question on Air Force One.
Oh, it's the very same lady.
The woman who's saying, you said no. He answered her question on Air Force One when he did say no.
And it is better to watch on TV than listen to on the radio because of the ambient sound in the airplane. But when asked about it, he says, no, no, next question. And then he says, I don't know, Michael's my attorney. You'll have to ask him.
Do you know about the
So did you know about the payment? No. Do you know where he got the money? No, I don't know. But Rudy Giuliani just said to Sean Hannity that the president himself paid him back for that. So that would seem to be a contradictory set of statements. One more soundbite, Elif, before we pause. So the president then responds to Rudy's maybe misstatement of the facts.
But what I do want you to do is look at our economy. Today we broke 4%, 3.9% we hit today for the first time in many, many years. I will tell you this. When Rudy made the statements, Rudy's great, but Rudy had just started and he wasn't totally familiar with everything. And Rudy, we love Rudy. He's a special guy. What he really understands is that this is a witch hunt. He understands that probably better than anybody. But when he made certain statements, he just started yesterday. So that's it.
Well, he didn't start just yesterday, but he just said stuff. I mean, I'm not going to bust the president for being wrong by 2 weeks about the hiring of his own attorney. But there's a few things there that just categorically are not true.
You're going to give the yesterday one a pass?
Say it again. Yeah, I don't.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's hard to pick them, Steve. The Washington Post said yesterday that the president so far has lied or obfuscated on the facts 3,000 times. They literally count them, and I'm sure that's in the not true category.
Yeah, I just think that's one of them that just shows how reflexive it is. That it's like we wouldn't know. You know that?
Yeah, and I think that's an example of, hey, John, when did you buy the car? And I bought a car last Tuesday. I don't know when I bought a car. I bought it Tuesday. And I say a couple days ago. Well, really, last Tuesday was like 7 days ago or whatever it would be.
Yeah, but you wouldn't say yesterday.
I guess not, but
it's just a minor thing. Anyway,
right,
to me, that just shows that it's...
It doesn't change the point of the story to me. So the details along the way, some of us are sloppy with and some of us are dishonest with. I guess you get to decide which he is sometimes. I don't know. Okay, but just one other thing, Elif, humor me here. This is the president, cut 7, saying that, you know, more important than being right on the facts, you can tell what the president wants is somebody who, like him, feels that this is a witch hunt.
Rudy is a great guy, but he just started a day ago. He's learning the subject matter. He knows it's a witch hunt. That's what he knows. He's seen a lot of them. So Rudy knows it's a witch hunt. He started yesterday. He'll get his facts straight. He's a great guy.
The president didn't specifically say that Rudy was wrong or clear up then about the chain of command on the money transfer. But you sure do get the impression that Rudy was... And Rudy was so good. He was emphatic. He was animated. He was all Rudy with Sean Hannity. But he was half-cocked. He was just rolling with stuff that wasn't true, apparently. So then Neil Cavuto, we'll play this after the break and then be done with this. I'm just catching you up, like I said, on the details. But so on Fox News, Neil Cavuto had something to say about that. And I think that is maybe the best thing I've heard in a week, in a minute. So we just finished playing what Rudy Giuliani said to Sean Hannity, what the president said about it, and basically the president sort of obfuscated, but at the end of the day said that Rudy didn't have the story as straight as he thought he did. But then the president didn't talk about the actual transfer of money or when did he know. I'm not sure that that's all that important, but all of this is just the ongoing turmoil that the White House can't seem to escape, all of it of its own creation. Heck, the vice president's physician just quit his post today, too. It's just one thing every day after another. So here's Neil Cavuto giving commentary on Fox News.
I'm not saying you're a liar, you're president, you're busy. I'm just having a devil of a time figuring out which news is fake. Let's just say your own words on lots of stuff give me, shall I say, lots of pause. I guess you've been too busy draining the swamp to ever stop and smell the stink you're creating. That's your doing. That's your stink, Mr. President. That's your swamp.
Neil Cavuto on Fox News. And that gets us to, by the way, just the last 1 second of everything that has happened. The soundbite that I think is most memorable.
Oh.
Steve, what is that? If I play it one more time, will you know exactly what this is? Hit it, Elif.
Oh.
That would be Sean Hannity finding out that he wasn't as close to the White House as he thought.
Yeah, really, maybe that's it. It's not the revelation that Rudy Giuliani had this, you know, I mean, hey, Sean broke a story, right? But maybe what bothers Sean the most is that he didn't know himself.
Oh.
Oh.
Wait a minute.
Damn.
That didn't come up in my phone call.
I had dinner with the man. He didn't tell me that. I said, who's got an attorney who fixes things for you? And $130,000 is too much of a pittance to bother the man with. But that's the way Rudy Giuliani was spinning it. And from 708, the text comes in, hey, John, the Ray Donovan Show is all about making things go away. Ray is a fixer. Got a nice family, but boy, does that guy need therapy. Ray Donovan. We watch that show at my house. It's a good show. Tough life for Ray, being the fixer. John, you pay a large retainer, says 847, and then the attorney takes care of things. Haven't you ever seen rich people's on the TV or movies? This is standard operating procedure. Hey, do you have a lawn service?
Okay.
That's good. That's good.
It is, but here's the thing. If that's all, that may all well be true. I don't know. I'm not.
You pay a retainer to the guy that plows the snow for you, and if it doesn't snow, you still pay him the retainer, and if it does, then you've already paid.
Okay.
You pay a retainer.
But if the standard is so low that you just have to say it and you get $100,000, I'll say I had sex with the president. If Michael Cohen's going to write me a check,
I know.
So it must have gone to someone, say, hey, I've got this request, or I've got this settlement, or. Right? It had to be.
This is a president who doesn't pay contractors the full amount that he contracts for because he's always trying to squeeze a buck. I understand that. If you're a businessman, maybe that's how the game is played. It just doesn't sound like the same guy who gives an attorney carte blanche to, without even telling him, spend $130,000. I don't know. I know you're a billionaire. I still think $130,000 is $130,000.
Well, it's not just the spending it. It's over this kind of an issue. You think you'd want to give him a heads up on it. That's kind of what my point.
Sure, you know? James Comey felt like he should give the president a heads up, and he wasn't even on his side, essentially. I mean, Comey said, listen, Mr. President, I just want you to know there's this thing about this dossier, and I don't want to embarrass you, but I think you should know about it. It's hard to imagine that Cohen would do that for the president without pulling him into some confidence and saying, here's what's happening. Here's what we're going to do. I'm the fixer. I'm your Ray Donovan. It's going to go away. I just want you to know what it is. And by the way, you're $130,000 lighter today than you were yesterday, just so you know. Ask Amy, the Amy Dickinson column in the Chicago Tribune, is just a joy to read. It kind of reminds you how the rest of us are living our lives. And here's the question that she was asked. And tell me what you think the right answer to this is. Ready? Dear Amy, I'm a 24-year-old woman. Since leaving my previous relationship, I've been getting back out there and going on dates. When I realize that I do not wish to pursue a relationship with someone after going on 1 to 5 dates with them, I usually just send a text message. Something like, "Hi, Mike, I enjoyed meeting you, but I don't think we have enough of a romantic connection to pursue anything further. I wish you the best." She says, "Amy, I loathe the idea of ghosting someone I've met, but I also don't think letting them down in person or on the phone is necessary when we don't know each other that well. The two men that I've recently sent this message to never responded. Is it rude for me to send that text, and or is it rude for them not to respond? I can't help but being a little hurt when I agonize over sending a text that I know will hurt someone's feelings, only to get no acknowledgement that they even received it." Okay, that last part is a turn that I did not see coming in the question. The question should be, is it okay for me to let them down via text? But do you really have the right to feel bad about them not hitting you back?
No. I mean, you can feel bad, but it shouldn't bother you so much.
I know. So not only do you not like me enough to want to go out with anymore, but now I have an obligation to make you feel better about it? No, I don't. I mean, that's my response.
This was a story. If it were guys, it would be, you know, heels breaking up with girls. You don't have the courage to do it, so you send a text.
Yeah, right.
That's always bad form.
I think it's really awkward, painful, and unpleasant to call somebody up or say, "Hey, I'm going to meet you at Starbucks, and this will be our last cup of coffee, Bob." But I think that's what adults should do. 24-year-olds dating, I think, should act like adults.
Not to psychoanalyze, but it sounds like she just needs to be consoled for having texted them instead of telling them in person. And I don't think that up to 5 dates you have to tell them in person. That
5
you don't
dates is a lot of dates, isn't it? 5 dates, you've... You're,
okay, fine. 5 gotten, dates is a lot.
You've gotten to know somebody on 5 dates.
Okay, fine.
That's past the 3-date rule as far as I can tell.
Is that the rule? Because it's been a long time since I've dated.
If they're breaking up through text, they don't have a 3-date rule.
Maybe you're right. Maybe by 5 dates. Yeah, okay.
Well, V, where are you on this one?
I don't know.
5 dates we've gone on.
I don't think 5 dates is a lot. Because one could be like a coffee. One could be a lunch. One could be a group.
Right.
One could be, you know, I don't know. I mean, you see someone 5 times and then maybe you text all the time. So it makes more sense to text and go, "Hey, I'm really not feeling the 6th date."
Okay, fair enough. So then is it the obligation of that person to say, "Hey, I got your note. Thanks for breaking up with me." I don't know how you.
Well, I mean.
No, really. Do I
you
owe
quit
you?
Me? I quit you.
Just so you know, I was about to hit send on you because I don't want to have coffee with you anymore either.
Right.
So, maybe I'm just confused because I think that by date 3, you should know if you like someone or not.
Yeah, it takes a while sometimes. Maybe. Or maybe you like them and then you don't like them.
Ladies, how about this? How about if after 5 dates, the guy just stops calling?
That would be rude. I would expect a text saying, "Hey, I'm just not interested anymore."
You have every right to ask the guy why he did that, but also you can...
I think disappear, right. So either of you disappear.
It's a power move for him, because now she's wondering, well, what does he think? You know, he's by not responding to her now, he has the upper hand.
Sure, but why does she care? Why does she have the right to care? I mean, she shouldn't care what he thinks about her now. She just broke up with him.
Right, and he should never... I wouldn't...
He doesn't have an obligation to respond, Steve?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I think she's also going to send a follow-up text. She's going to wait a week and go, "Hey, did you get my text?"
I know. Come on now. Come on. Tell me you love me. Okay, so what
don't you miss me?
What does Amy Dickinson say about this in a minute? Somebody texted in a moment ago and said, "If these days, 5 dates, you've probably, I'll paraphrase now, consummated the relationship. If you've consummated the relationship with somebody, for goodness sakes, you owe them some sort of personal breakup, not just a text." And I know that I sound like a Neanderthal here because the last time I was dating, we literally had no way to reach out and break up with somebody other than a landline. And some of us were using rotary dials on a landline.
See, and this is where I think women, there's this great equality, so they certainly can do that on their own too, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Damn, they should have had to do it when they had to call and say it on the phone. Or when they had to call and the girl's dad would answer
the phone.
And then you'd have to ask for Susie. Oh,
I'd call Lynn Knutson and so hope that Lynn would pick up.
Right.
I'd say, hello, Mr. or Mrs. Knutson.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
How are you?
Oh, well, I'm kind of hating myself right now.
But I wonder, when you see someone in person, who are you helping there? The person that you're breaking up with, maybe they don't want to see you either if you're about to break up with them.
I fully admit I don't know how this should work, because I just know that my experience,
like, maybe you're sparing them,
different than maybe what it is now. Yeah, maybe they don't want to hear my voice when I'm breaking up with them, and a text is so clean, but they can just delete it. But do they have an obligation to hit you back and say, yeah, I got your message, and thanks for breaking up, bye-bye? In a minute, from A.B. Dickinson, her response. Read these? Is that what you're telling me to do? Oh, you want me to mention this? Yeah, Steve Cochran's on again on Monday. It's National Tourism and Travel Week. And the Illinois Office of Tourism Director, Corey Job, is going to be in the studio with Cochran. Steve, on Monday morning at 7:10, they're going to talk about how you and I can better celebrate Illinois. My brother's in town celebrating Illinois today. If you got friends coming in, or you want to know how to do a little staycation in Chicago or the state, Cochran's got that for you Monday at 7:10. Where's Ask Amy? Did I throw it away after all of this? Stand by. Where did I put it? I'd like to read it, because it was pretty well the way she wrote it. Thank you. It says here's Amy's response. I agree that sending an honest text message is a good idea in this context. So ding, ding, ding for you all. Text is the right way to break up with someone 1 to 5 days. It is not like you are breaking up. You're giving these people a heads up on where you stand, releasing them from misapprehension. Boy, there's a euphemism. I'm not breaking up. I'm giving you a heads up on where I stand. And where I stand is never next to you anymore, bozo, but that's fine. That's life in the big city, says Amy, and so I'll trust her in your judgment. But, she says, what you should not do is expect anything in return. Your feelings are hurt, too bad for you. This is Pat. You're on WGN. Hi, Pat. You're on the air.
Hey, King John. How are you?
I'm good, man. What's up?
I just have a couple things that I mentioned to the producer. I mean, I want to say this and then a comment afterwards. Are you really talking about this? Is this really happening? I may be a Neanderthal, but let me tell you something. The young people today are making their lives much more complex. Just call the guy or the girl and say, listen, it was fun. Thanks. I don't think we should continue anymore. I'm not interested. Have a good life. I'll see you later. I mean, my God, this is so simple, but everybody is trying to come up with some way to assuage this digital texted email, whatever social media method of dating and getting together. It's not that difficult. It's a man. It's a woman. Just talk to each other and we're done. Oh, my God.
That's Pat calling in and summarizing a whole generation's feelings about this. This from 630. I feel she wants to know how much he likes her, and no response means he felt the same way, and that's why she's now depressed. And from 708, isn't it sad, John, that within 5 dates you haven't consummated the relationship? Come on.
Hey, can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes, you may.
This person actually said, isn't it sad that within 5 dates you have consummated your relationship?
Oh!
So John read the text wrong?
Imagine that.
Yes, but that's okay.
Maybe that was Freudian.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
40 minutes.
Here's John Williams.
We'll do The Bright Side. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fun. Have you heard The Bright Side? People call in, tell us some good news in their world, why they're smiling. It's a group hug on the radio. And it works every single time. I want you to be part of it. So get ready in about a half hour, 40 minutes. We'll ask you to call in, tell us some good news in your world, why you are smiling, and we'll smile with you. It's The Bright Side. What a great way to end the week and start the weekend before Roe comes in and just ruins it all with all of the problems that he has each and every day. Okay, so just a couple of quick texts about the last conversation we had. Hey, John, I got kicked out of my house and divorced via text. Oh, I feel so young and hip.
Ouch.
From 847, if I don't like someone after a second date, I cut it off, and I'm a very mature adult, and I'm still on the dating sites. I would only text if I was texted first. We were talking about Dear Amy's column where somebody said, is it okay to end a relationship from 1 to 5 dates with a text message? And do I have a right to feel upset when they don't respond to my breaking it off with them via text? And, I guess it just depends on how close you were to the person to begin with, what that relationship was like after 5 dates. I don't know what that was like for them. I just want to go back to a story that we were talking about a little bit yesterday. You know the story in Indiana about the cash that was blowing around on the highway? I-70 on the west side of Indianapolis, a Brinks truck, somehow or another the door flew open, cash started flying all over the highway, a school bus stopped, people have been picking up the money. And we just sort of discussed the ethical dilemma that is, if you find that money, how much of an obligation do you feel to turn the money in? And what do you do?
Can I change my answer? Because I've been thinking about this, honestly, since yesterday.
And as you may know, Violetta had no problem keeping the cash.
A lot of texters told me to get a conscience. And I do think I have one. I really think if push came to shove and it was there, I wouldn't take it.
You would not keep the money?
I wouldn't keep it, no.
Yeah. I really think
it would feel like dirty money.
I think the amount of money matters. $20, I think, is easy to keep. $200, not so much. $200,000, now you really have
no,
trouble.
There's a fine. It starts to get easier.
See, this is
once it gets to $10,000, it's like, it's $10,000.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I think some people would be willing to purchase their conscience for $10,000 or $200,000 because they said maybe $600,000 flew out of the truck. I mean, I know I won't sleep well at night, but it'll be on a brand new bed. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Oh, here she comes, the voice of conscience.
I do. I really don't think I'd take it, because then you would take it and you would just feel horrible.
This is what happens when you read your texts.
One of the comics last night, I forget which one it was, he said, I will give the money back to the bank, to the Brinks truck people, to whomever. It's, I presume, money from a bank. I'll give the money back to the bank the same way they give money back to me, with a fee attached. Because they charge you to open up accounts, and they will often charge you to take money out of the ATM that's your money. They charge you to get your money. He said, so I will give them back with a fee attached.
That's very funny.
It's kind of clever.
Right.
Okay, so in Indiana, here's the news story. Here's how they're reporting it. And listen to the very end, because there's a state trooper at the end who's saying, all right, here's what's going to happen now.
Well, state police describe people stopping on I-70, walking across the interstate, even jumping over this fence to run out and grab cash. Something police say is not only illegal, but very dangerous.
Look at all this money.
Like something out of a game show, the Wednesday morning drive to work turned into a mad dash for cash on the west side of Indianapolis. NDOT traffic cameras show the chaotic scene on I-70 Wednesday morning when this Brinks truck made an unexpected deposit right in the middle of the interstate.
Bags of money were falling out of the back onto the interstate.
For unknown reasons, the back security door of the truck wasn't secure. When it flew open, hundreds of thousands of dollars went blowing in the wind, bringing westbound traffic to a halt and, police say, creating a dangerous situation.
We had reports of people on the interstate, reports of people on the side of the interstate, in the ditches, in the grassy areas on the side of the interstate as well.
State police say taking this loose money amounts to theft, so they told several people there to return cash they had stuffed in their pockets. But they're really hoping to catch up with 4 guys in a white pickup truck who reportedly made off with a whole bag of money. And that's not all.
The other vehicle that we had a confirmed report of was a school bus where the driver stopped, got out, collected some loose bills, got back in his vehicle, and continued.
State police can't confirm whether there were kids on the bus at the time. There's no telling how much of the money will be recovered. Troopers were planning to keep an eye on the area through the day, and they say anyone caught grabbing cash could be arrested for theft.
If you're willing to, in good conscience, turn it back in, there's amnesty, there's no real questions asked if you're willing to give it back.
The state police say they've had several people call in because they want to come in and turn in money that they found out here. If you'd like to do the same, you can call state police's headquarters in Indianapolis.
There's a school bus in Miami right now.
Okay.
You ever seen a school bus do a wheelie? It would be after they just loaded a bag of money in there and hit the gas.
So you jump out of your car and you pick up, let's say, 10 20s. Okay. $200.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see these troopers on TV, and they're talking about vehicles and things like that. So you turn in 40. I mean,
oh, I think Why do you do that?
Well, if you think that they
you're in for a dime, you're in for a donut, Steve.
If they think that they have your car information,
right,
and they see you picking up money,
okay, right,
he just doesn't want to get in trouble.
They're not going to prove how much you picked up, so give them a little.
Right, but that doesn't address the conscience issue,
well,
which
no,
plagued Violetta last night.
You mean the text that plagued Violetta last night? No, it was my thoughts.
I just, if you found it just on the in the grass somewhere, it's different. But this is like a mad dash to get the money. Like, it just feels
Look, I'm not saying weird. This is a good idea because it's truly dangerous.
And I mean, illegal.
It's a horrible thing. But so many people's fantasy is walking along and finding a bag of money. And there is a bag of money! I hate to see them pop the bubble, especially since the principals will be made whole. That's why you have insurance. So I, you know, when I get to be king, I'm going to let you keep the money. But I know that's not the way a legal, rational world works. But I'd like to let you keep the money. You know, you didn't tip the truck over. You didn't rob it. It was just blowing in the wind. Well, our first call.
There was tomatoes, and you ate a tomato on the interstate, right? They wouldn't ask you to. Whole Foods wouldn't ask you to reimburse them for the. Oh my gosh!
The tomato. He's thinking about that $200.
I'm having speaking difficulties today.
Yeah, but what if they were something? What if they were cases of canned soup? I don't know, something that
black bean soup.
Something that, you know, wouldn't have been damaged and isn't going to go bad sitting on the side of the road. You've lifted a case of tomato soup and. It's that Prego stuff, which is pretty good, with the basil.
Mm-hmm.
So is it Prego that I'm thinking of?
I don't think so.
Progresso. Progresso.
Yeah.
Progresso soups with the, anyway, I digress. So anyway, you get a case of that soup. You should return that case of soup, right? You don't take that home and eat it. Actually, I don't even think you pause to pick up a case of soup on the side of the road.
If someone finds a case of soup on the side of the road.
I'm sorry I went there.
And they turn it into the supermarket and the supermarket charges me for that. That'd be bad, too.
I just want to let those people enjoy it. But our first call on this yesterday was a guy who was a Brinks truck driver for years. And he made a good case. Money just doesn't go flying out of the back of a Brinks truck. It locks three different ways. It's secured in bags. The bags are secured in the vehicle. They're not just throwing it in there like scrap lumber at a construction site. This just does not happen unless... It's an inside job, unless the guys in the Brinks truck actually wanted the money to go out, and then they would keep some of it as well. And when they total it all up, they go, well, I guess some of it is on the side of the road. I saw a school bus drive off with some. Look for those kids. And meanwhile, they've got themselves brand new Harley Davidsons, or whatever you would do with the money.
Well, those guys are definitely not giving it back.
The guys that are...
That stole it in the first place.
Yeah, well... I'll bet you, you know, the more that guy, I've thought about that guy, I'll bet we're going to discover that this was not an accident, that it happened on purpose, and that it was, if not an, it had to be an inside job. So thanks for your calls on that and that story. You know, a little while ago, we were talking about how to break up, and it had a sort of older generation, younger generation vibe to it. There's just one other story that's like that in the news today, and it's from Kansas City's Star. Luring millennials to the 9-to-5. The Chicago Tribune printed this as well. And this is, I know, an example of where if you're over a certain age, you just got to know that you missed the gravy train because you're going to retire someday soon. And the kids that are coming up are going to enjoy the sorts of perks that you would never have imagined you could get, right? So they talk about how you get millennials to work 9-to-5. As though it's unreasonable to ask somebody to work 9-to-5. I'm sorry, I'm not even going to try and hide my age and anger about this. I'm 59. But at the Cerner Corporation, which is a medical data giant in Kansas City, they do all kinds of things to get young people to take a job from them, besides a paycheck and insurance benefits and 2 weeks of vacation. In fact, they say that this is the best time in the history of work in America to be under the age of 35 and looking for employment. What did the president say the unemployment rate is? 3.9%. In some places, it's less than that. That's the national average. In 2015, the U.S. workforce's on-demand revolution lured 3.2 million people, mostly millennials, to companies like Uber, Amazon, Flex. Fast forward a little bit more, and they are in the driver's seat. For some time, the Grant Thornton accounting firm has been among the more innovative major employers, rolling out appealing perks. The latest, free breast milk delivery. New moms at Grant Thornton can pump while on business trips and then have the milk shipped overnight back home to their babies. And the company will pay for that. In addition to benefits such as unlimited days off, boy, there's an unusual set of words, unlimited days off, and $100 reimbursements for adopting rescue animals. They will give you $100 if you pick up Daisy or Bingo from my house. I'll give you $100 if you pick up Daisy or Bingo from my house. At Pro Athlete Inc., which is another Kansas City area firm, it's a retailer of sporting goods, unlimited paid time off.
What does that even mean?
That's what I'm trying. It says so long as your tasks are done, it's part of their empowerment culture. So say you've got 57 reports to write this week and 22 clients to follow up on. If you follow up on them, you go home. You don't go to work tomorrow if you're good. You get your work done. We don't care how much you work or how little you work.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, man.
I just feel like...
Oh, wait. That was a trap. I'm not going to respond to Steve's.
Well, you couldn't do it because you do a radio show every day. You can't do a show in advance.
Right.
I can do the news in advance, however.
I know you
can't. It's always the same.
No, you can't.
My parents always said there's always something else to do. So I don't know that you really, your tasks are ever over.
Exactly. If you've got extra time left, I think, hey, you're working for me, then find some more to do.
Yeah, but it's the difference between...
Or maybe I'll give you more work. Go ahead.
I don't know. Part of it is it's the difference between treating workers like adults or like children, too, in a way. I mean, I kind of get it, right? If you're being paid to do for 8 hours work, you should do 8 hours work.
Right.
But sometimes it's like, well, I'm done with the work, well, but you can't leave for 42 more minutes. You know,
like
or
school.
Like school. And I don't think that really serves anyone either.
Especially since the last 42 minutes of most school days are not the most productive 42. Okay.
But so, also, one other thing, though. I have heard those places with unlimited vacation time.
Yeah, yeah.
There's often a culture that among workers where they look at each other and count and make, there's like an internal pressure.
To not
do it.
Yeah, right. I think some of these places like Google and Amazon are... famous for the perks, but also famous for how they grind the employees in that culture. But that's not even half of it. Some of these other perks, and just do me a favor. It's 2:22. Maybe you've got something. Maybe they have a hot dog cookout every Friday where you work in the summer. If you do, I'd like to hear it. I'd like to hear what the best perk is that you have at your employer. John, does the Brinks company have insurance for transporting the money? I'm sure they do. John, so does that mean if I lose $200, the person who picks it up stole it? I don't think so. Hey, John, since you're revisiting yesterday's topic, remember this. Last year, a Salvation Army store in St. Louis announced that $350 was found in a donated pair of jeans. They invited people to come and identify the jeans so that they would give the money back to the right people. The next morning, they had a line of 600 folks at their front door. When they opened the store. That sounds apocryphal. I'm not sure that's really true. It's a state law called Finders Keepers, Losers Weepers, John. Hey, John, banks steal money all the time. John, are you kidding me? I didn't hear the whole thing before, but if you saw where the money came from, that's terrible. They were not walking along and just found it. Good for you, Violetta. And shame on John and Steve.
Yay!
Oh, my.
But the next texter says, very smart that Steve Bertrand gives some of the money back. And this person...
That one came from Stateville.
Talk about situational ethics. Listen to this one. John, if they still lose their job, the Brinks truck operators, either way, and I'm not going to get caught, then good for me. The money's insured. If they lose their job, this person said, because of it, it says if somebody doesn't lose their job, because I return it, then it's okay. But if they still lose their job either way, and I'm not going to get caught, then good for me. The money's insured. I keep the cash. No harm, no foul, says that person.
But it's just, you know where the money's coming from and the wind is blowing around. Let's say someone spilled their wallet.
When did she become Joan of Arc here?
And everything ended up just, you know, spreading out in the mall.
Wasn't she the
whoever
one
could pick it up,
yesterday?
That's just rude.
Right? Well, she was going to keep it yesterday.
But I would keep it if I saw it just randomly somewhere, maybe.
And just reading the text here about, is it okay to end a relationship with the text? John, my 3-year relationship ended in a text, and it went like this: moving on, changing the locks, don't come down here anymore. And 5 months later, he came back to me. This all happened last weekend.
I texted that person back, and I asked if they took him back, and she hasn't responded yet.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to know.
I just feel like that was a follow-up text. They must have had a conversation before that.
By the way, perks for the 9-to-5ers in the Tribune, besides the free delivery of your breast milk back to your babies if you're on a road trip. How about this? No-cost health coverage. That's nice. Weekly massages, free meals all day at work. We kind of have that here at the radio station. Sponsors are dropping off free food all the time, and we so appreciate it. Many companies have buffed up packages to include assistance to relieve crushing student loans, free gym memberships, smartphone discounts, protection against identity theft, paid off time for staff to attend charity events. At the Cerner Corporation, they offer dog walking services for your pets, days in which local farmers bring in their organically grown produce, personal financial advice, and cooking classes at work. That's amazing. It's 2:30. I'm sorry, lots of calls on this, and the news is next. Afterwards, we've got some great suggestions for you on things to do this weekend. We always like to start that off after the 2:30 news, and then the bright side coming up. You left your Thank you, Steve Bertrand. 2:41. This is WGN. I'm John Williams. On Fridays, we like to do a fun things to do segment that we call Fun Things to Do. Violetta, Elif, and I come up with some suggestions that we steal from newspapers or what we're going to be doing this weekend, and we just give you some fun ideas. What are we listening to here?
This is Kygo, who will be at the United Center tomorrow at 7:30, and tickets start at $29 at Ticketmaster.com.
Speaking of entertainment, I'll do the next one. Julia Sweeney is at Second City Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 8 o'clock. When we did our show from the Broadcast Museum at the Saturday Night Live exhibit, she came by. Remember Pat from SNL? And she now has a first-person show where she talks about what it's like to find fame, lose it, and try and find it again. And Chris Jones gives it 3.5 stars in the Tribune today. She was delightful. So let's sell some tickets for Julia Sweeney at Second City. Maybe you left your Violetta, go.
It's the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. All-inclusive tickets, options, mint juleps, a hat contest, all at Arlington International Racecourse. Tickets starting at $18, but if you're doing the all-inclusive, it's going to cost you a little bit more.
Scott Elif.
Tomorrow is the Kentucky Roller Derby Day at Chicago Athletic Association tomorrow.
I like that.
4 to 6 and 7 to 9. Tickets start at $20 at ChicagoAthleticEvents.com. You can watch it there.
We love the movie High Fidelity at my house. John Cusack is going to do a Q&A after the film shows at the Chicago Theater tonight at 7:30. Cusack's in town. $49 to see the movie and take some questions from him. So hurt me as much as you like. Violetta, go.
We have Wingfest at UIC. That sounds delicious. Tickets are ranging from $50 to $100. That's 1 p.m. on Sunday.
What do you got, Elif?
Mayflower Madam is playing at Bric-a-Brac Records today at 5:30 for free.
Over at Adler Planetarium, they're doing another sleepover. I did one of these once. You sleep over at Adler, only mine was at Shed. It's not
that
Shed.
Sounds awesome.
It really was.
Was everyone else at Adler?
I'm telling you. Shed's had some problems over there lately. I hope they figure that out. But this is at Adler tonight. It's cost you $30 to go, and I highly recommend the whole concept anyway. All right, who's next here? Violetta,
I'll go next.
Go.
It's Cinco de Mayo. you know, that's the 5th of May.
Right.
And Wrigley has a bar crawl. It's going to be crazy around there, so
watch out.
Yeah.
One more from Via Ledner from Elif Garris. Go.
The Green City Market opens tomorrow in Lincoln Park, featuring cooking demonstrations and music, and it starts at 7 a.m. Info is at greencitymarket.com.
We want you to call us right now or text 312-981-7200. It's Friday. It's a glorious day. We hope you've had a good week, and let's start the weekend off with a smile. Call in. Give us some good news in your world. We call it the bright side, and that's next on WGN. Bright Side today is sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. This is our little song we play. It goes like...
Some things in life are bad.
This.
They can really make you mad.
Call me now.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
Well, the phone lines are ringing. We getting some texts,
too? When you're chewing on last
Yes, we
whistle.
Are managing those.
Don't grumble. Give a whistle.
I get wetty.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
We start with the ladies.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Give me some good news, Violetta. Why are you smiling?
I get to wear a pretty dress and a pretty hat this weekend.
Kevin, I hope that's not your bright side. What's your bright side?
I will be playing golf, I will be grilling, and I will be attending the Arlington Racetrack tomorrow.
In a pretty dress?
Nice.
I'm going to skip the dress.
Big hat and a mint julep, maybe? Huh?
I'm thinking Bloody Mary.
How about you, Steve Bertrand? What's some good news in the Bertrand world?
Well, I'll be driving through Indianapolis looking for cash on my way to Dayton.
You going to go see your son?
Emma's college graduation.
Your daughter? Oh, God, is she graduating?
Magna cum laude.
Are you serious?
That's right, baby.
I'm not surprised to hear she's did well in school, but boy, it seemed to go fast.
So true. It's been a lot of going fast.
You must always face the curve.
Okay, here we go. Let's pick up some phone calls and read some texts. We'll start with Kathy. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Kathy?
I am smiling because we're on the road right now, heading to Ames, Iowa, to pick up my daughter, Sierra, from her first year, freshman year at Iowa State.
Always look on.
Christine, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
My daughter was in the National Collegiate Triathlon Championships last weekend, and she battles complex regional pain syndrome. She placed second.
How about that? Big win both ways, huh?
Yes, it is.
Thanks, Christine. Thanks for the call. We're happy for you, and we're happy for her. Let's talk to, Dawn. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Dawn?
My son is returning from his first deployment, and I'm going to see him.
Oh, wow. How long was he gone?
7 months.
It's a happy mom. I can't wait to see her. Are you going to greet him at the airport with a sign and all of that?
I'm going to be on the dock.
Yeah. Oh, great. Well, congratulations. Thank you for his service. Tell him we said that, and thanks for the call.
Yes.
So always look on the bright side.
All right, let's go to Kevin. Kevin, give me some good news. Why are you smiling?
Oh, it's Keith.
Oh, I'm sorry. Keith, you're on the air. Why are you smiling?
I'm smiling about the trifecta to celebrate the weekend. My mother, who's 85, is recovering nicely from double bypass surgery. We sold our house that has been on the market for one entire year. Finally got that done. And you know what?
What?
It's sunny and it's just lovely and breezy today.
When you're feeling
what a great call. I'm happy for everybody. Thank you, Keith. Thanks for the call. Read another text, Violetta.
815, off work at farm.
Look on the bright side.
Give me another one, Violetta.
847, beautiful weather and time for the motorcycle ride.
Yeah, we need more of that. Give us one more.
219's going to Alaska cruise tomorrow.
Oh, really? How about that? You got another one you like?
847, daughter just gave birth to our first grandson.
You must always face the curtain with a
bang. How about Roberta? Roberta's on line 9. Roberta, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
I'm smiling because we get to hear you again. I'm going from Pekin to Chicago to we're spending the weekend with our grandson.
You know, I married a Pekin girl. Did you know that?
I think I did. I remember we went on a cruise with you one time. And okay. Great. I'm so glad you're on WGN again, and it's a beautiful day.
Always look on the light.
Thank you, Roberta. Safe travels now. You're coming to the city on a good weekend. Hey, Connie, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
Hi. My youngest son has his prom this weekend. And my oldest son at the University of Iowa accepted an internship for the summer. So double happy.
Read another one, V.
6:30, it's Miller time.
Yeah, amen to that.
We have a twofold here, Brightside. Our three grandchildren under four spent a whole week with us. Second part, we're taking them home tomorrow.
Hey, Carol, why are you smiling? You're on WGN.
I have two daughters, a two-year-old and a three-month-old. And when my daughter turned two, my parents got her a playset, and it was just built in our backyard just in time for the warm weather and the sunshine. And she is having a ball in it. It's just so sweet to see her play on it.
Oh, man. Isn't that great? Boy, you got the weather and everything's ready to go, huh?
Exactly.
Thanks, Carol. Be good. Be safe. Have fun. Let's talk to Brian. Listen to this. Here's a bright side. Brian, what's your good news? Why are you smiling today?
Well, I went to cut my grass for the first time this season, and the mower started on the first pull.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you forgot.
Hey, Jay, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today?
I found $10,000 on the Indiana Highway, and I'm going to Arlington.
Just purse your lips and whistle. That's the thing.
Read another text, Violetta.
We have today is my parents' 50th anniversary. That's from 847. 847 also says that they're driving a champagne for their grandson's first communion. And then at 708, my daughter finished her first year of college, and she's coming home this weekend.
Let's talk to Glenn. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Glenn?
Well, John, it's a big day for us. At the end of the month, my partner and I from a two-man garage business are opening up our first showroom and actual manufacturing area.
Oh, no kidding. I'm going to buy some of what you sell. What do you make? What do you sell?
We make specialized flooring for boats. We're a private designer and manufactured a special flooring for yachts and boats and dinghies.
Okay, I'll pick some up, and then, you know, I'll have to get a boat, but that sounds great.
I can hook you up. I'm working at my shop is actually at a marina and a boat sales place. I can get you a deal.
What's the name of your business, Glenn?
It's walktheplankmarine.com.
Of course it is. Get it? Walktheplankmarine.com. Good luck to you, Glenn.
Thanks very much, John. Have a good day.
All right, let's finish with another text. Violetta, what do you like?
We have 630 Sail Monkey going in the water tomorrow.
Yeah, nice.
And then 708 blowing off some house chores and then going downtown with my hubby. We're going to walk the Riverwalk.
Nice weekend to do all of that. That's what we do on Fridays. It's a good way to end any week and start the weekend. It's called The Bright Side. And once again, thanks to our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. They sponsor that. So did you guys watch the president speak today?
I did, yes.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I did. Chicago took it on the chin again. You know, he likes to say that Chicago has the strongest gun laws in the country.
Toughest, yeah.
Yeah, which is not true. But and like everything else, not related to the central issue that we're dealing with here.
Here, right. Well, but he's speaking to the NRA.
Right.
And he did a shout-out to Kanye, right?
He did.
He did. He said he thanked Kanye for doubling his numbers with African Americans from 11 to 22%. And I suppose maybe that has, I don't know. I've lost the ability to know what is actually going on.
You wonder
here.
If that number's true or not?
I don't care if it's true or not. It doesn't matter.
I want to know what happened to Kanye's numbers as a result.
Kris Jenner was out there today saying, well, he'll be able to explain that at some point in the future. I'm not sure I can. But
I saw a story.
Radio play, they're not playing his music.
A couple DJs in Detroit, I don't know if that's happening in Chicago too, said that's it. Kanye's off the playlist now.
Hey, you know what's funny though? At the NRA, he had that, Puff and Sim. What's the two ladies? Diamond and Silk.
Who he follows on Twitter, by the way.
Yes, they were at the NRA convention today, and he shouted them out. He
gave
called
them out.
Really?
Yeah.
I've interviewed those ladies before. But it was at a time when it was kind of fun. I don't know. Maybe they would still be fun. They've really got that, that whole wag down.
Yes. Well,
who are you to talk about our president that way?
Let me just tell you this. If they weren't YouTube sensations to be in favor of the president, they would have been kicked out of the NRA convention. I can promise you that. But it was like, oh, no, they're heroes now.
But it's funny. The 45th president follows 45 people on Twitter. All Trump properties, Trump kids, Trump businesses.
Yeah.
He follows Sean Hannity, stuff like that. And then Diamond and Silk.
Yeah,
it's just the funniest thing.
Yeah. So we have all Mark McKinnon is there right now. He is at the NRA convention, and he's going to join us. He's the guy from former George W. Bush campaign guy and White House counselor. He is now one of the three heads that you see on the circus on Showtime. Mm-hmm. He is going to be telling us exactly what's going on there. He was with Ted Cruz during it.
Oh, boy.
I saw Ted was on the, what is it, agenda he was going to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, and the president called him out, and there was loud applause, and then it was either booze or Cruz. I'm not sure what the people were saying. We'll ask Mark what that was all about, and then we'll get some legal analysis of what's up with Rudy Giuliani. Well, what's up with that? He's kind of walked everything back, and now the president walked back what Giuliani said, and now Giuliani's walked back what he said, and the president's not yet sure if he's going to walk back what Giuliani said about what Giuliani said. The whole thing's a mess. And the most important part of the day, General Michael Hayden is going to be here, former head of the CIA and the NSA, and he's written a new book about the death of truth in America, and we will talk to him about that.
Have a great weekend. Have a great show.